Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Welcome to, I think, the fifth episode of Yemen, a country in the bottom left-hand corner of the Saudi Peninsula, rising up to a pretty impressive mountain range, which would dwarf anything in Australia. But almost no water, huge fertility, or success, but also a problem. And the various Saudi and various UAE people coming in there and just wreaking havoc, trying to, because they know how to integrate with the tribes. It's one of the great things. There's the fantastic World Heritage Site, the high-rise, an ancient high-rise from, I don't know where it's come from, the 13th century high-rise in that area. And we're just going to, we've come across some other unusual facts, like they've got a national sport of camel jumping. Well, I sort of like that. Of course, they have dedicated to football, aren't they all? Sort of camel jumping, it's bull fighting through bulls, robotic camel riding, all rather interesting along the things. And then there's the various languages, this Sukwati. Then the major thing is that their major agriculture is making cat. Q-A-T, which is a drug, which makes them rather violent. That's pretty amazing. Okay, now we're doing education, and given that you can imagine the education isn't going to be that great. One is if you've got a fantastic, it's sort of like 99.999% Muslim. It's not to say that's going to lead to poor education, but the you can get married at 9 years old, married and divorced by 10 years old. Just absolutely astonishing how can that operate? I just can't understand. I don't think you're ever old enough to get married. I think, yeah, I suppose you have to get married before you're 60, but yeah. Okay, let's go. Education. The adult literacy rate in 2010 was 64%, not very good. The government is committed to reduce the illiteracy to less than 10%, i.e. the literacy rate up to 90%, by 2025. Another few years left. Although Yemen government provides for universal compulsory free education for children aged 6 to through to 15, the US Department of State reports compulsory attendance at school is not enforced. The government developed a national basic education development strategy in 2003 that aimed at providing education to 95% of Yemeni children between the ages of 6 and 45 years, and also decreasing the gap between males and females in urban and rural areas. A 7-year project to improve gender equity and the quality and efficiency of the secondary education, focusing on girls in the rural areas. See, in the rural areas. Let's see. In urban and rural areas, a 7-year project to improve gender equality and the quality and efficiency of secondary education focusing on girls in the rural areas was approved by the World Bank in March 2008. Following this, Yemen has increased the education spending from 5% of the GDP to 10% of the GDP. There's some great things. That's a good percentage. But they've also got a very low GDP. According to Webometrics rating of world universities, the top-ranking universities of the countries are the Yemeni University, 6,532 worldwide, the Afghan University, 8,000, or nearly 9,000, the Sun University, 11,000th in the world. So there's a lot of universities. It's pretty sad, though. Health. According to 2009, the life expectancy was 63.257 years. Despite significant progress Yemen has made to expand and improve the healthcare system over the past decade, the system remains severely undeveloped. Total expenditure on healthcare constituted 5% of the gross domestic product. Same year, the per capita expenditure on health was very low compared to the Middle Eastern countries, $34 per capita. The number of doctors in Yemen rose by an average of 7% between 1995 and 2000. In 2005, there were 3 doctors per 100,000 people, per 10,000 people. In 2005, Yemen had 6.1 hospital beds available for 10,000 people. Healthcare services are particularly scarce in rural areas. 25% of rural areas are covered by health services compared with 80% of urban areas. Most childhood deaths are caused by illnesses for which vaccines exist or are otherwise preventable. Around 2009, Sana'a may be the first capital city in the world to run out of drinking water. There you go. Prior to the crisis. Prior to the current conflict, Yemen's health care system was weak due to a lack of spending in the public health care. During the mid-2000s, Yemen's decided to take a market-based approach to the health care system due to the increased liberalisation within the country. However, the market-based approach directly affected the poor and those living in rural areas because the decrease in Yemen's budget in public health care and the use of user fees. Access to healthcare services is highly determined by geographic location. Although Yemen constitution promises healthcare for all, only about 25% of those living in rural areas have access to healthcare services compared with 80% in urban areas. In addition, most hospitals are in urban areas, which makes accessibility difficult for those living in rural areas. Yemen's public healthcare system is compiled of 4 levels. 1, 2,929 primary health care, primary health care units. 2, 184 district hospitals, 53 general hospitals, and 2 specialist referral hospitals. However, many of these facilities lack resources and employees due to the small budget spent on the public health care in Yemen. However, in 2002, Yemen created the district health care system in order to deliver primary health care through the community-based services, which in the end failed due to poor management. On the other hand, Yemen's private sector has succeeded. There were 165 private hospitals in 2002, and by 2012 there were 764 private hospitals. Yemen's healthcare system prior to the current conflict was weak, however, still better than currently. Alright. During the crisis, currently only 45% of the healthcare facilities in Yemen are functioning and all and accessible to the public, while 247 healthcare facilities have been destroyed and damaged by the ongoing conflict. In addition, healthcare facilities are still functioning, lack the resources and employees to provide appropriate healthcare services because humanitarian aid is restricted by constant fighting, airstrikes, bombardments, lack of ceasefire. It's dangerous for humanitarian workers to set foot on the ground because they could easily be killed due to constant fighting by both parties. Many hospitals and clinics have had shortages of vaccines, medical equipment, basic drugs due to the ongoing conflict. Therefore, while healthcare facilities are working, they lack the equipment and employees to provide all those who need help. In 2017, the UN reported healthcare facilities are quitting and healthcare workers are quitting and facilities are losing their staff in a time of need. At the same time, many patients are not able to afford the hospital service fee, even though they are cheap. Due to the high demand for healthcare services, local volunteers, medical students have been trained to respond to the basic needs during emergencies. It is estimated that 14.8 million people in Yemen currently lack healthcare, and 22 million people are in need of humanitarian assistance during the conflict. Since the beginning of the conflict, the people in Yemen have been more susceptible to diseases and long-lasting healthcare problems. More and more people are dying from treatable diseases because of the weakened healthcare system. According to the UN, since the escalation of the conflict in March 2015, more than 7,600 people have died and about 42,000 people have been injured. Malnutrition. Children are highly suffering from acute malnutrition. According to the World Health Organization, more than 1.8 million children under the age of 5 are suffering from acute malnutrition, and 500,000 students under children under 5 years old are suffering from severe acute malnutrition. A study shows that global acute malnutrition, GAM, is 12.5% from 2013 to 2016, children under the age of 5 years old. In addition, the study shows that the national average of women being in the ages of 15 to 49 suffering from severe malnutrition was 11.4. However, from 2013 to 2016, it decreased by 1.6%. According to the UN, the total of 4.5 million people in Yemen are suffering from malnutrition. Mortality rates. According to the study of the journal Globalization Health, child mortality rates under the age of 5 years old has increased nationally. In 2013, there were 53 deaths per 1,000 live births. In 2016, there's 56.8 deaths. In 2016, the national average maternal mortality was 213.4 deaths per 100,000 live births, which is an increase of 1.3%, whatever that means. Cholera. Currently, according to WHO, Yemen is suffering the worst cholera outbreak in history, with an estimated more than 100,000 cases per week. Cholera is caused by lack of clean water. According to WHO, 18.3 million Yemenis lack access to clean water and sanitation. Infant mortality rate. In 1950, the child mortality rate in Yemen rose to 250 children per 1,000 births. Yemen made significant progress in the rate falling to 44.5 children per 1,000 births. Oh, still, subsequently, the ongoing cholera outbreak caused the death of 12 children to rise. As of 2018, more than 20 million Yemeni people are in need of humanitarian assistance, including 9 million children. Well, it sort of varies within the same article, doesn't it? Malnutrition is one of the leading causes of child mortality. By 2018, about 2 million Yemeni children suffered from acute malnutrition as a result of the civil war consuming their country. Geographically, Yemen is also the world's most depleted water sources. According to UNICEF, nearly half a million children are suffering from severe acute malnutrition. Is this repeating itself, or am I really repeating it? By November 2018, an estimated 85,000 children under the age of 5 had died due to acute malnutrition over 3 years of the war. The number does not include children missing, displaced, or currently medically unstable. Abuse and exploitation of children in Yemen has become a common practice with the continuation of the civil war between the Houthi rebels and the Yemeni government forces. A reported 6,500 children have been killed or injured in violence as the country's infrastructure collapses. It's reported that upwards of 800 children being recruited to participate in the civil war. Well, disease. Cholera has broken out within Yemen because of the poor infrastructure deteriorated due to the widespread war in the country. Yemen faces issues of control and provisions of fresh, clean water, as Yemen does not have the capacity to create infrastructure needed to provide it. Thus, people are forced to obtain unsanitary water from rivers, lakes, and wells. Cholera is prominently found in contaminated drinking water, making Yemeni people, especially children, the most prone to such diseases. There's more than 815,000 suspected cases of cholera in Yemen over the past 3 years, 60% of them being children. Cholera can be found throughout the majority of Yemen, mostly concentrated in the cities closest to water. Cholera currently kills an estimated 95,000 people per year and affects upwards of 2.6 million people. Diphtheria spreads throughout Yemen. Upwards of 1,300 people have been infected since March, 80% being children. In February the 21st, 2018, there have been 66 reported deaths from diphtheria. Well, I don't know. Foreign relations. UNICEF has made huge efforts in fighting the war against cholera epidemic, with major efforts in providing vaccines to help immunize Yemeni people. There have been 900,000 suspected cholera cases and can be treated. They have launched various campaigns to help combat sickness such as whooping cough, pneumonia, tetanus, tuberculosis, diphtheria, meningitis, and continue to send vaccines to the Yemeni people. As of December the 4th, 2018, the United States has funded approximately 696 million of humanitarian funding for Yemen. Humanitarian organisms have created huge impacts in the Yemen, providing health, nutrition, food provisions for the impacted. The KSA and United Arab Emirates have also supported food and national support by pledging $500 million to help the 12 million Yemeni people. The World Health Organization has provided substantial aid to Yemen and continues its effort in creating a sustainable health system. In 2016, the World Health Organization created functional health facilities, including 414 operating sites within 145 districts, including over 400 mobile health and nutrition teams in 266 districts throughout Yemen. They have also provided extensive child health nutrition interventions in over 300 districts and established 26 cholera treatment centres. They are leading the effort in polio immunisation, treating over 4.5 million children under the age of 5. They have supplied 565 tonnes of essential vaccines and medical supplies expected to help upwards of 300 million people in the conflict-impacted areas. I don't know what recording the tonnage of medical supplies actually tells you. The World Health Organization has provided huge efforts, I don't know who wrote this, by creating its humanitarian response in 2017. Their plan consisted of $219 million WHO budget and a US $430 million health sector budget that targeted supporting 2.6 million women and 5.8 million children in Yemen. They created four specific objectives for providing aid. 1. Provide health care services. 2. Response and supervision and medical supplies to districts. 2. Strengthen health sector efficiently and health information systems. 3. Increase reproductive, maternal, newborn and adolescent health interventions, including violence against women. And 4. Bolster community-based health initiatives and create self-sustaining infrastructure for the health system. They have allocated budgets primarily towards severe acute malnutrition and cholera projects. There ends the reading on Yemen. I think, you know, you're all positive when you hear it's the history. They told the Romans where to go. It was a bit unfortunate about the British, but I think the British everywhere is a bit unfortunate. But then to find out about the inequality in treatment of women and what that's done to the society as a whole, in my another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.